One of the things that may escape your attention in a casual reading of the gospel lesson is that Jesus is very specifically and intentionally enacting this fulfillment of prophecy. As they draw near to Jerusalem, he sends two disciples, "Go get the donkey, bring it to me. And if anybody says anything to you, say the Lord has need of him, and everything will be fine." And so the disciples did as Jesus commanded them, brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their clothing on the donkey, set Jesus on the donkey, and began to enter into Jerusalem. Now this was done by Jesus intentionally. By it, he wished to communicate to the people of Jerusalem that he is their salvation, that he is their Messiah King, and that their eternal well-being is in his hand. Now, Jesus, he says throughout the gospel the very same thing to us. We, in our sins, can never even conceive of the gospel. All we are able to do in our own selves is cook up yet one more of countless works righteousness schemes. And all the non-Christian religions of the world, every last one of them is a scheme of works righteousness, and it does not save. So Christ, he comes to us in the gospel, and he declares to us what he declares to the citizens of Jerusalem. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I come in lowliness to you in order to bring you the mercy and blessing of God Almighty. And that summarizes really the preaching of the gospel. Now, the citizens of Jerusalem, some of them were disciples of Jesus. Some of them were unbelievers. Jesus speaks this word of loving invitation universally. But in order for us to be glad about it, there's something that we need to understand. And it's summed up for us in the second article of the Apostles' Creed in our catechism. When Martin Luther is explaining who Jesus Christ my Lord is, and he talks about the redemption of Christ and how Christ has purchased and won us to God, he describes the human condition in this way. He says, "We are lost and condemned creatures." That is, we have fallen away from God and we do not know how to get back to Him. We are spiritually lost and we are under God's judgment because of our sins. So Luther describes us as lost and condemned creatures. He also says in the second article of the Creed about our condition, he says that we are by nature captive, held in bondage to sin, to death, and to the power of the devil. That's what we are by nature. That's our sinful, lost condition. That is the situation we find ourselves in when we consider ourselves according to the flesh. And we cannot remedy that situation with anything that we do. And so, once we realize this, once I am able to see of myself, I am a lost and condemned creature in bondage to sin, death, and the power of the devil, and that I can't do anything to remedy the situation, once I realize this, the gospel, the message of Christ, becomes a joyous, wonderful, good news to me. Because it says that God has looked down at my wretched condition and He has had mercy upon me. He has given His only begotten Son for my salvation and redemption. So, summing up this section of the text, Matthew tells us all this was done. The getting of the donkey, putting Jesus on the donkey. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, you know, they didn't have chapters and verses in the Bible in the first century AD. And so you couldn't say, Jesus fulfilled Zechariah 9, verse 9. You couldn't say that. You had to refer to the prophet Zechariah by quoting a familiar passage and hoping that your hearers would be able to look it up for themselves and to study it in its context. Now, it just so happens that in Matthew 21, verse 5, Matthew quotes two different passages of Scripture. And the first one that he quotes, and he puts the two together, and the first one that he quotes is from Isaiah chapter 62. And in chapter 62, we read these words, "Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh." All right? So, first, Matthew draws his hearers' attention to Isaiah 62, verse 11, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh." And then, when he has used the words of Isaiah 62, he then begins to mention Zechariah 9. Now, notice what Zechariah 9 says. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just," that means righteous, "and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So here, in this text, we are seeing two important passages of Scripture put together. And we, as the reader, are to consider them both together and realize the full impact of what Jesus is saying to us in the fulfillment of this prophecy. "Tell the daughter of Zion, thy salvation cometh." That's what Jesus is. He is the coming of salvation to and for you. and that he comes in meekness, not as, he doesn't ride on a steed, but on a lowly donkey, and he comes to be crucified, dead, and buried, so that he might pay for our sins and redeem us from sin, from death, and from the devil. And so, it's a wonderful gospel message in which Jesus is offering himself to you as the epitome of God's gracious, merciful gift to you. Even though you don't deserve it, God loves you and has guaranteed your salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay, now, how did people respond to this? Well, we see two things. Number one, they gave Jesus the equivalent of a first century red carpet treatment. All right? They didn't have red carpets. So what they did was they took their robes off and threw them in the road, and other people cut palm branches from the trees around and they strewed them in the road. And so they made a so-called red carpet of welcome to Jesus. You see, they were by this, they were welcoming him in faith. They understood what he was driving at in entering into Jerusalem in this humble way. They understood it, and they believed in him, and they did an act which shows that they welcomed him as Savior. All right? And they gave him the red carpet treatment. The other way that they responded, as our text says, is by quoting from Psalm 118. And in Psalm 118, which is a thoroughly messianic psalm from beginning to end, in Psalm 118, verse 24, 25, and 26, say this, listen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, wait, you said, wait a minute. Where's Hosanna? I don't see a Hosanna in there. Well, you have to know Hebrew, which luckily, okay. And in the Hebrew language, you see it, well, you don't see it, but in verse 25 where it says, save now, I beseech thee, in Hebrew, that is Hoshiana, Hoshiana. Save us now, it means Hoshiana. Salvation. It's like we would say, long live the king, right? We, you know, long live the king or long live the queen or whatever. Hoshiana. It ascribes salvation to Christ, and they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right, so they are believing that he is their Savior, and they are welcoming him as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They receive Christ in simple faith, believing that he is who he says he is. Now, that's the right way to receive Christ. This is what we are being invited to enjoy today. As we enter into Holy Week, we are invited to to enjoy the fact that our Lord is indeed our Savior. Now there's a right way, as we just saw, and a wrong way to react to this. Let's look at the wrong way. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 21, if you skip down a few verses to verse 15, after Jesus has entered into Jerusalem, there's a bunch of kids running around in the temple. And the kids are saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," in the temple. Guess who thought that that was not fun? It says that the chief priests and the scribes saw the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they were sore displeased. So they were grumpy. They hated the fact that Jesus was welcomed as the Messiah into Jerusalem. And now they're really grumpy because there's a bunch of kids making noise in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." So they're sore displeased. And they say to Jesus, "Do you hear what these kids are saying? Can you hear what they're saying?" And Jesus says, "Yea. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise'?" You see, the haters of Jesus, they resent everything about the Christian religion. And they resent everything about the gospel of Christ. And they will use anything that they can grab hold of to reject the faith and to despise Christ, to despise the church, and to despise the Christians. But the children, they are celebrating. They are saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." What's the problem? What's the problem with these crazy scribes and Pharisees? Well, in John chapter 8, we read these words of Jesus. Jesus was involved in a controversy with the Jews of Jerusalem. So he had been arguing back and forth with them. And he says this to them. "Again, Jesus said unto them, 'I go my way, and you shall seek me, and die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come.' And then further down he says this, 'I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.'" You see? So Jesus makes it very clear. What's the problem? What's the problem with the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees? They did not believe in Jesus. And because they did not believe in Jesus and refused and persisted in their impenitence, they will die in their sins because they did not believe in the Savior. But we, on the other hand, are given the wonderful privilege of being able to celebrate the fact that even though we don't deserve it in the least, God has shined His kindness upon us by sending Jesus to us, who comes to us in His lowliness and grants to us His saving health. Amen.